the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from the father's house, unto land that I will show thee. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them, I will bless thee. Let's get this. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That word curse there, by the way, because we're not getting into this, ain't talking about cuss words. It's talking about people that do harm, and is that coming through, or is that just in my ear? It's my mic. Let's go to this. Let's go to the main mic, brother, so I don't have to fight it all night. All right. Praise God. Let's pray together right now and ask for God's anointing here tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all that you've done. I pray, God, that you would anoint and bless here tonight. Anoint my mind, anoint my heart, anoint my tongue. In Jesus' name, I pray understanding comes, because we need it in this hour. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that we have understanding of our times. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, come on, just love him with me for a moment here right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I want to teach tonight on the subject of why America must stand by Israel. I hope I don't get wound up and go too fast. But I do have a lot that I do want to deliver. I want to say that this is going to be information heavy. I've spent all day trying to make it less. And I've tried to whittle away as much as I'm willing to. But you've got to understand that if your pastor has taken the time to do this, it is important. And it's vital that you understand, not that you memorize everything that I say, but you get an understanding of what is being said, because this is not what you're going to hear in the media. And the sad thing is you're not going to hear it from Washington. There's only a few voices right now that is standing that way. America is at a crossroads. Will we believe God and stand by Israel? Or will we backstab and sympathize with Israel's enemies? We've already turned our back on God in America, and we're feeling the sting of his gracious remedial judgments. Yeah, we still have a form of godliness. That's really not even the word that should be used anymore. We have a form of religion. But we've lost the moral and spiritual power as a country that we once possessed. We have vowed to act against terrorists and those that harbor them. As a country, we have vowed that we will not allow that to happen. We won't allow another September 11th. I mean, we've made this clear, even though we're forgetting. I mean, we're right now in how many countries in the Middle East doing our thing. But our government has ironically pressed Israel not to retaliate against Palestinian terrorists. Because God's word speaks so clearly to this issue. I'm going to have to skip reading a lot of scriptures, but I'll try to throw out whenever I think of them as many as I can. And one right now is Joel chapter 3. Because there will be grave consequences if we fail to heed these things. Zechariah chapter 2 also talks about it. Unlike the historic claim of other people that many, that, you know, around the world, the globe, they might have a historic claim of their homeland. The Jews not only have a historic claim, they have an overriding, stronger claim than just historic. God himself gave the title deed to the land of Israel, of the land of Israel to the Jews. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, everything. Any human ownership of land is nothing more than a lease, subject to the overriding authority of God Almighty. God establishes the boundaries of nations. You say, how can you say that? Because the Bible says that several places. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Numbers chapter 34, Joshua chapter 11, Acts chapter 17. God, this belongs to the Lord. It doesn't matter if you deny that the Lord exists. It still belongs to him. God promised the land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants forever by a solemn oath and covenant in Genesis chapter 15, and it reiterated Genesis chapter 17. He renewed the covenant with Abraham's son, Isaac. No, Isaac, the second, not the first, Ishmael. Isaac, this is important that you understand this point right here. The covenant with Abraham's son Isaac, Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 21, and his grandson Jacob, note again, not Esau, Jacob, both secondborns, not firstborn. There's a reason why you've got to note that. The land record is found in Scripture, God's covenant with the Jews regarding the land, and the drama of his covenant promises, Israel's slavery, their deliverance, sin, wanderings, backslidings, possessing of the land, the national glory, and the cycle of sin again, and repentance, and captivities, returns, defeats, dispersions again, and ultimately permanent possession of the land. It's a thread that pull that you can pull in the beginning, and it will run all the way through the Bible. It's a grand theme of Scripture that is one that is not hidden. It's not one that you've got to search out. It runs all through the Scripture. The fact we live in the day when God has brought the dispersed Jews back to Israel and restored the land to them according to what Scripture prophesied was going to happen is exactly what has happened, and it should be a matter of awe, a matter of wonder, a matter of fear to someone who is not right with God, because that is only going to happen right before the coming of the Lord. But biblical believing Christians, amen, especially apostolics, you need to understand that the media and the liberal religious sector of our society cannot sway you from what is biblical truth, that Israel has been given this. It is a promise, amen, of God Almighty. And I've got to stand on the side of God. You may protest, and this is a thing that some of the so-called Christian churches in the West are proclaiming. These Jews are anti-Christian. They're ungodly. They practice abortion and homosexuality and all the sins of other Western nations, and that is true. But the fulfillment of God's promises to the modern Jews is not dependent upon their faith, their obedience, or their righteousness, but entirely upon God's sovereign power and the immutability of His will. I mean, there is scripture after scripture. Isaiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 11, Ezekiel chapter 20. I can go on and on and on. Scriptures that back up this. Our sovereign God has kept His promise and brought the Jews back to their homeland. And it is the promise that He has made. Just as He's done that, you're going to hear the sound of the trumpet very soon. If you are ready to meet God, amen, God's coming back. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation like this world has never known. And the Lord is going to come back again, amen, and He's going to fight once and for all. And there is going to be no question who the land belongs to. But as of right now, Israel's having to fight for her rights and her freedom. And anybody that stands with her, the Bible is clear, will be blessed of God. But anybody that stands against her will be cursed of God. We cannot afford another cursing from God. After World War I, when the Allies ceded control of, I'm going to call it Palestine because that's what they named it, to the British, they controlled multiple thousands of square miles of Middle East land. At this time, they could have given the Jews any of 100 pieces of real estate for their homeland. But the God of Holy Writ long ago ordered the return of Jewish people to the land of Canaan. Jeremiah chapter 16, Jeremiah chapter 24, Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah chapter 50, and it's exactly what has happened. Later in 1948, after the Holocaust had created world sympathy for the Jews, God used the UN, the United Nations, now a chief opponent of Israel. If you don't know what that means, they stand against Israel. They are not for Israel. But at that time, they stood for her, and they to create the nation. The fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 66. God promises, I'm going to tell you this again, God promises to punish the nations of the world that come against Israel. I believe this wholeheartedly there, and I've told you this time and again. I believe Scripture is very clear, and not on the United States of America. You can't explicitly find the United States of America in Scripture. There will be people that will argue that we're the eagle's wings and all of this, but it's all speculation at best. But I will tell you this, God has blessed the United States of America for two reasons, and two reasons only. Because she has spent her monies and sent her missionaries around the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number two, because she has stood strong as a supporter and a protector of Israel. We are sliding in the spiritual avenue of missionaries. We now have countries that are sending missionaries to the United States of America. The only chance that we've got to stay on the map because the world hates us is if
if we stand with Israel. But the day that we decide to back up and leave Israel standing there by herself, you mark it down. You mark it down right now. Amen. This country is going to be in a world of physical hurt because this world can't stand us. The only thing standing between us and this world is Israel. And the day that we quit standing with Israel, we're in big trouble. You better hope we have a revival because we need one of the two. But I'm telling you something right now. If you're prayed up the way you're supposed to be, you will stand with Israel because there's something spiritual about it that you can't help but stand with Israel when you're standing with God.
It's kind of like abortion. They go hand in hand. In other words, you can't stand for abortion if you stand with God. Say, why do you have to throw that in there? Because it's the truth. God promised to punish nations that come against Israel. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3. And I will bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Every nation that presumes to interfere with God's plan for Israel, including the United States, stands not only against Israel, but we stand against Almighty God. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse number 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you. For he that touches you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. That's not the only passage. Ezekiel chapter 38, Zechariah chapter 2, Zechariah chapter 12. There's some Christians, religious groups, that believe natural Israel was permanently cast off by God and wholly replaced by the church in God's plan. The rebirth of Israel as a nation today has no part in God's spiritual plan, they say. But they have to ignore or twist scores of Bible promises that are to the contrary. It's undeniable that the Jews are blessed by God. I don't have time to go through everything that the Jews have given to the world. Go research, Google it. It will amaze you how much they have contributed to the good of mankind in science, in literature, in education, in medicine. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Mark Twain said, if the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It's less than that. Now, it suggests a nebulous dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of. But he is heard of, has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contribution to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning are also a way out proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in the world in all the ages and has done it with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain in himself and be excused for it. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor and then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise and they are gone. Other people have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out and
they sat in twilight now or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality if not God? That was Mark Twain that made that statement. Long before they were called Jews, though, Israelites, they were referred to as Hebrews. The term Hebrews comes from Shem, the son of Noah. Genesis chapter 10, verse 21. Also to Shem, the father of all children of Eber, the older brother of Japheth, children were born. Abraham was a great, 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 great grandson of Eber. Even four generations removed, Eber lived for 200 years after the birth of Abraham. Abraham was only 69 years old when Noah died. And Noah's daddy had talked to Adam. And Abraham actually spoke to Noah. I'm laying some groundwork here, as you can see. They have a right to be where they're at. After the flood, Shem and his family settled in the area of modern-day Iraq, Iran, at a place called Ur. Ur is about 220 miles southeast of Baghdad, and its ruins are still there. They know where they're at today. It was a very wealthy city, and it was a worship center of the god Ur. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord God, the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And that's exactly what we have seen happen. We're not told why God chose the branch of this family to become Hebrews. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 7 said, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people groups. You were the fewest of all the people groups. As a matter of fact, the Lord said here, they were to be a people through whom he would speak his word and through whom he would come into the world. That was the purpose. He didn't choose them because they were more righteous than any other people group. Because Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse number 6, he makes a statement. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness. It's not because you're something special that the Lord your God has given you this good land to possess. For you are a stubborn people. That's what he called them. We tend to think that God gave the promised land just after leaving their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But this isn't thinking that is true to Scripture. It's fraud. God had already promised the land to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. On the day, verse number 18, on the day that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I'm going to give this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Over 140 Old Testament passages. Don't worry, I'm not going to read them all. Confirm that. The land was given to the children of Abraham, and that God is on their side. When the Arabs attacked, I'm going to have to move on. When the Arabs attacked in the Jews in 1948, Secretary of State George Marshall, this is the same Marshall that authored the Marshall Plan of rebuilding Europe after the war. That's where you get the famous Marshall Plan. George Marshall was the one who came up with that.
He was Secretary of State at this time. And he said, within 10, maximum 15 days during this war, when the Arabs attacked in 1948, 10, maximum of 15 days. Not a single Jew will be alive in Palestine. Wrong. You know the history. In 1967, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, Algiers, Libya, members of the PLO and Arab forces attacked the Jewish state. In 6 days, with Israel being outnumbered 10 to 1, 6 days, Israel won the war. Israel lost less than 800 soldiers, while the opposing armies lost approximately 17,000. In 1973, Egypt attacked Israel across the Sinai Peninsula. And by the end of that conflict, the Israeli Defense Force had advanced within 60 miles of Cairo, or Cairo as we say in southern Illinois. On March 4th, 2002, when White House rhetoric was moving against Israel, much like what it's doing right now, Senator James Inhofe made the famous speech, Republican from Oklahoma. 7 reasons why Israel has the right to their land. I want to use an abridged version of this right now and interject some things into it to make clarification. Numerically, he numbered them off. Number one, the archaeological evidence says it is Israel's land. Every new archaeological. I've said that word so many times today reading you, you'd think I could keep it going. Archaeological. We're going to get done real quick doing this. Archaeological. Every new archaeological dig, we're going to say dig from now on, trying to find old stuff, supports the fact that Jews have had a presence in Israel for 3,000 years. Coins, cities, pottery, cultural artifacts have been unearthed. The Jews' claim predates the claim of any other people in the region. The ancient Philistines are extinct, as are other ancient peoples. They don't have the unbroken line that the Israelites have. The first modern Israelis are direct descendants from the original Israelis or Israelites. Number two, Israel has a historic right to the land. Israel existed as a nation until the time of the Roman Empire. Even after the dispersion of 70 AD and 135 AD, a strong Jewish presence remained. The Turks took control 700 years ago and ruled until they were defeated by Great Britain in World War I as allies of the Germans. British Field Marshal Edmund Allenby took Jerusalem without firing a shot. Grateful for the contributions Jewish scientists and businessmen had made to the war effort, Britain promised in 1917 to set aside certain captured lands that we talked about earlier. All of present-day Israel and Jordan were in those promised lands that they were giving. All of Israel and all of Jordan. That was going to be a Jewish homeland. It was promised in 1917. Matter of fact, it was a contract that was drawn up and given to them. There was no outcry over the plan because the land was considered worthless. Nobody hardly lived there. Unable to sustain any sizable population, they said. It wasn't until Israel was there and started to flourish the land, Arabs began to repopulate the land after this and reclaim it, and the Jews had done such a marvelous job. No nation in the region has longer standing historic claim to the land than Israel. Saudi Arabia was not created until 1913. Lebanon until 1920. Iraq until 1932. Syria 1941. Jordan 1946. Kuwait 1961. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, confirmed by the League of Nations mandate. During the period, it was the Jewish population. During this time, during the war, the Jewish population was known as Palestinians. Those that were in the British Army in World War II were called Palestinians. The Jewish people were. In 1964, the Palestine Liberation Movement was founded. 1964. The Palestinian Liberation Movement was founded. Ahmed, who less than 10 years earlier, this dude, had denied the existence of Palestine. Said it didn't even exist. It's not a place. That's a no man's land. It's nobody. Less than 10 years earlier. And he was the first chairman of the Palestinian Liberation Movement. This is its charter, proclaimed its sole purpose to be the destruction of Israel. To that end, it helped to propagate the Arab attack on Israel in 1967 to get it out there. The outcome of that attack then inspired an alteration of public rhetoric, as propaganda, it sounds better to speak of the liberation of Palestine, that's what they call it, than of the destruction of Israel. And so that's what we've heard since then, that this is the liberation of Palestine from these evil Israelis. When right in their charter it says that their purpose is to destroy Israel. And the sad thing is, much of the world, governments, media, and public opinion accept virtually without question the new sprung myth of an Arab nation of Palestine, as they refer to it. The current myth, this myth that Arabs were long established in Palestine until the Jews came and displaced them, a fact that recent Arab immigration into Palestine is actually the truth, and they have displaced the Jews. Population statistics for Jews and Arabs in Palestine rarely consider how the proportions came to be. One of the factors is, if you study your history, the British policy of keeping out Jews while bringing in Arabs. Another factor was the violence used to kill or to drive out Jews, even where they had been long established. One example is the Jewish connection with Hebron goes back to Abraham. There has been people there. There has been an Israelite Jewish community there since Joshua, long before it was King David's first capital, long before any of that happened. And there has been a Jewish settlement there all the way in 1929. Arab rioters, with the passive consent of the British. The British allowed them to go in, and they killed and drove out virtually the entire Jewish community. It's a fact. All you have to do is study this. All you have to do is Google this stuff. 3, Israel's practical value to the Middle East. Israel is a modern, a marvel of modern agriculture. If you ever get the chance to go to Israel, you're going to see a country that took land that everybody else said was desolate, nothing could grow there, and that it looked like wasteland. It wasn't land worth anything. That's the reason why nobody was living there, because it was so nasty. But when the Jews took it over, it began to flow with milk and honey. Why? Because they're blessed. That's why. But they have this ability and they have this knowledge that is only God given. And if you go there, it is amazing. I mean, you can see what here in the States is considered northern agriculture growing, and you can see what is considered southern our tropical agriculture growing within a state that is far, far smaller, a country that is far, far smaller than our state. It's a lot smaller than our state. But yet they've got all of this growing right there in Israel. She has brought more food out of the desert than any other land. You know, if the Arabs had any sense at all, they would befriend Israel and import Israel's technology and make the Middle East like Israel, a food exporter. Number 4, Israel's land, the ground of humanitarian concern. 6 million Jews were slaughtered in Europe in World War II. Jews were persecuted in Russia under the Tsars, under communism. And they're obviously persecuted now for their own protection and development of the Jews. They need their own homeland. If not there, where? And I guarantee you, if they were to up and move somewhere else, they would do the same thing wherever they were to move. Number 5, Israel is a strategic ally of the United States. Israel is an impediment to the group hostile to America. Were not for our strategic ally, Israel, they would overrun the entire Middle East. We have only one friend in the region that we can count on. That's Israel. Israel votes with us in the United Nations more than any other nation, including England, including Canada, including France, including Germany. Number 6, Israel is a roadblock to terrorism. The war we face is not against a sovereign nation, but against a fluid group of terrorists who move from one country to another. They are almost invisible. We need our allies with Israel. If we do not stop terrorism, if they don't stop it in the Middle East, it will be on our shores. He said, I believe the spiritual door was open for an attack against us in 9/11 because the policy of our government has been to demand and pressure Israelis not to retaliate in a significant way against terrorist strikes launched against them. Since its independence in 1948, Israel has fought 4 wars. The War of Independence, 1948-49, 1956 War, the Sinai Campaign, the Six-Day War in 67, and the Yom Kippur War in 73. In all 4 cases, Israel was attacked. They were not the aggressor. It was the other way around. But they won all 4 wars against impossible odds. Number 7, we have got to support Israel's right to live in the land because God said so. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible says, the Lord said to Abram, lift up now your eyes, look from the place where you are, for all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your seed forever. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse number 7, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come. I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O flesh,
before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3, and I'm going to come to a close. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
I'd like for the musicians to come. I could give you sight in scripture. I can give you sight in history. Of how that incredible, impossible odds have stood against Israel. But if you will take your Bible, and you will take his history, and you will see how that scripture unfolds right before your very eyes with the nation of Israel, you can't help but have to agree that Israel has the blessing of God on it. When they were given Israel and Jordan, the whole, it wasn't too long until the British cut more than 75% out of the Jewish national home. And the amazing thing is, no Jew is permitted to reside in Jordan. And if that's not enough, they've kept taking and kept taking and kept taking. Israel eventually allotted just 17% of the original mandate. And in that 17%, they have been forced to allow a huge population of Arab citizens to live. And if you don't bother finding out the truth for yourself, if all you do is listen to the American liberal media, you'll think Israel's this bully over there against Gaza, against the Arabs. You won't bother reading that what is happening is Iran is sending in truckloads of rockets that can be launched out of the back of a truck. Truckloads of them coming in. And they're just firing them willy-nilly. They don't have any precise aiming. Almost 1,000 rockets that they've lobbed in there. And it's every one of them a surprise attack. Every single one of them. But Israel doing her homework, the IDF doing their homework. They know where they're coming from. Folks, it would be like, this is what it would be like, okay? It would be like Elkville lobbing rockets at DuQuoin. You think that it's like Russia lobbing them in America. It's not that way. It's like Elkville lobbing them here at the distance. And it
doesn't take an Einstein to figure out where the rocket's coming from. All you have to do is send up a drone that you bought off of Amazon. And you can see where they're coming from. That 12-story building that the AP was working out of and other news networks were working out of, Israel called them. The IDF called them and said, listen, we know Hamas is making and building these rockets. We know that they're using that building. We are going to level that building in a couple hours. Everybody get out of the building. And then what happens? They all get out of the building. They're all safe. And boom, the building blown up. And then AP and all these liberal news outlets, they get on and say, oh, we barely made it out with our life. We didn't. Oh, these bullies and how they're... That's a bunch of baloney. They knew that the rockets were coming. They could have rode a tricycle and got out of there in time. But Israel's looked at being the bully. How many strategic hits have they thrown into that country? Or into that, it's not even country. It's actually their land, and they're having to let these rebels live on it. Compared to all the rockets that have been shot at them, they don't just lob them in. They use precision so that they can keep from killing innocent people the best that they can. But you won't hear any of that. You won't hear none of that. You're going to hear how bad they are. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, America has to stand up, has to wake up first, and America has to stand up with Israel. We have an obligation to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'd like for you to stand together with me right now, and I want us to do just that. God in heaven, I know that your coming is very near. And I know the day is coming that Israel will be picked on for the last time. I know that there's coming a day that there will be great revival in the land. And I really feel like it's soon. God in heaven, we pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because you have mandated that if your people will pray, you'll hear the voice. You've mandated that that's what causes all of heaven to take note and to stand at attention. In the name of Jesus, your church is praying right now, dear God. Lord, bring peace. God, help us, dear Lord, to stand with Israel. Help us, dear God, to stand biblically strong in every area. It's amazing how that every area is coming under attack right now. Every biblical stand that we have is being literally shaken and shot at by hell itself and by this agnostic world. In the name of Jesus, give the church a backbone. Give us a boldness to stand today. Help us to fear you more than to fear man. In the name of Jesus, bless your people, bless your church. In the name of Jesus, that backslid Israel can come back to you. In the name of Jesus, that they can know your love and your power and your might. In Jesus' name, that the scales could fall from their eyes, that they could have that revelation, dear Lord, before it's too late. In Jesus' name, bless their God. Use America to help. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let revival come to the United States of America before it's too late. Whatever it costs, dear God, if it costs us our economy, if it costs us our health, eternity's too long. Hell's too hot. We must be saved. In the name of Jesus, help us today, dear God, to wake from our slumber, to wake from our sleep. In Jesus' name, help us, dear God, that are at ease in Zion. In the name of Jesus, set us on fire. Make us a flame. In Jesus' name, help the intercessors to arise. In the name of Jesus, help us to seek first your righteousness and your kingdom above our own. In the name of Jesus, that we might see the salvation of the Lord in this land. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name